I know, but I forgot to cancel it last week. Okay. Page 52. Chapter 21. Perichof Aleph. Chapter 21. Chof Aleph. 21. Chapter 21. And the bottom is page 88. And the top is page 52. Okay, in Perichof, that we learned last few weeks, Dr. Rebbe is explaining that the whole world is really bottled to Hashem. The whole world does not cause any change in Hashem whatsoever. And the reason for that is, so he started explaining that the whole world was created with one word from Hashem's mouth. And then he started giving the analogy, the way it works by a person. That one word of the person compared to the power of speech, which is infinite, is nothing. Then if you take above speech is thought, so this one word compared to the power of thought is even more nothing. Above thought is our emotions. Above emotions is intellect. And then you have levels which are even higher than intellect, higher than letters. And like it says, a feeling before it comes into a tangible level, before it comes into letters. So to speak, like we said, you don't love in a particular language. It's a feeling which is above any language. Intellectual concepts are above any language. You just reveal it in languages. But itself is essentially above languages. So if you want to compare one word to the essence of the person's soul, it's infinitely times nothing. And therefore one word doesn't change or alter Hashem in any way whatsoever. Because the whole world is created with one word from Hashem's mouth, that one word compared to Hashem is nothing. That's what he spoke in Chof. But he only gave a gashmistic emotion from speech of a person. He says in Chof Aleph, v'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of Hashem is shalai k'midas basar v'dam. It's not like the attribute of people. That means this whole mashal, which applies to people, doesn't even apply to Hashem at all. Why not? Because by Adam, Sha'adam Kshemedabe Dibur, when a person speaks, Harehevel Adibur Shebefiv, the air that's coming out of his mouth, Humurgish is felt, is sensed, V'nira Davar Bifnei Atzmei, and it appears to be a separate entity, Muvdal Misharshi, separated from its source, She'ein Esir Bechinas HaNefesh Atma, separated from the Nefesh itself. In simple English, when you speak, to use modern day language, when you speak, your words can be taped. The words are now out of you. Right? They have nothing to do with you anymore. Or as like the famous expression, before you speak, you control your words. After you speak, your words control you. Because it's finished. It left you, it separated from you. By Hashem, it doesn't work like that. He says, Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but by Hashem, and the Burei Muvdo Mimenu Yisbarech HaSashol. Hashem's words are not separated from him whatsoever. Why? Because Les HaSarponim Minei, there is no place empty of Hashem. So when we speak, speech is more tangible because it leaves us, it can even measure it. You can measure how loud you're speaking, how soft you're speaking. You can tape it. You can replay. I mean, it's something that leaves you. By Hashem, there's a greater level of bittul because the speech never even leaves Hashem. So the speech is not only speech leaving Hashem, which is nothing compared to Hashem. It's speech of Hashem within Hashem, which makes it even more nothing. To give the analogy that Alter Rebbe will give later in Tanya, you have the sun, the S-U-N, the sun in the sky, and then you have the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun only exist outside of the sun. Inside the sun there are no rays, there's only the sun. When do rays begin outside this? When they leave the sun, that's when the light of the sun begins. Sunlight begins outside of the sun. Inside of the sun is no sunlight, it's the sun. And as Alter Rebbe later in the second part of Taisha Yichud Amun, as Alter Rebbe says, the truth of the matter is that for sure there's sunlight in the sun. Because if the sunlight can shine 93 million miles away from the sun, in the sun itself, for sure it shines. But it's so bottled to the source, because it's inside the source, all you see is the source. When the rays leave the sun, that the sun is not there, that's when the rays exist. But not that they don't exist in the sun. They are in the sun, even more so than they are outside of the sun, because they're closer to the sun. But over there they are so bottled and so subjugated and so nothing, all you feel over there is sun. The same thing, he gives a mashal later in Tanya, Hashem's words never leave him. So it's not that the words leave him, now they become something tangible. Okay, granted, it's nothing compared to the person, but at least there's something. By Hashem, the words that leave Hashem never left him. It's the rays of Hashem within Hashem. So what is it? It's only Hashem. So what are world? What is world? What are all the worlds? Only God. There is nothing else but Hashem. And he explains this. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ein diburim muvdo mimenu yizbarech chas v'shalom. Hashem's speech doesn't leave him. Kein davar chutz mimenu, because there's nothing outside of him. V'les ha'sei ponim minei, and there's no place free from Hashem to say that the speech left Hashem to go where? I mean, there's no place outside of Hashem, so it's all within Hashem. L'chein ein diburi yizbarech kidiburenu chas v'shalom. Therefore, Hashem's speech is nothing like our speech. Or rather, our speech is nothing like Hashem's speech. K'meishin machshavti. Just like Hashem's thoughts are not k'machshavtenu, like our thoughts. Like the Navi says, k'le machshveisei machshveiseichem. My thoughts, Hashem says, are not like your thoughts. K'ngavu drachem idarcheichem. My ways are much greater than your ways. So now the Alter Rebbe is going to ask, so why is it called speech? So why is Hashem's speech called speech if it's not speech? Because speech, by definition, means it leaves you. What's the difference between thought and speech? Thought doesn't leave you. Speech leaves you. Right? That's the difference. Because really, you think also in letters. So what you think is what you speak. What you speak is what you think. So what's the difference between speech and thought? It's the same thing. But speech leaves you to somebody else. Somebody else can know what you're speaking. And your thoughts, nobody else can see because it's still within you. So if Hashem's speech doesn't leave Hashem, so why is it called speech? B'chal, why is it called speech? So he says, "Le'nikra diburi yizbarach b'shem dibur." So why is it called speech if it's not really speech at all? And it's self-understood also that Hashem doesn't have a mouth, and Hashem doesn't have teeth and gums and, you know, and lips and a stomach, and that all the five formations of letters come from. So obviously, what is this concept of speech? He says, "Raka derech mashal." It's only a mashal for one detail. What's the detail? K'mei shedibur atachn sheba adam. Just like a speech down here by a person who megale l'shemim, he listen, he reveals to the listeners, "Ma'asha yitzofun v'nelim b'machshavti," what was hidden in the thoughts. In other words, what is the concept of speech? Not what speech is. What is the concept of speech to reveal to somebody else what's hidden within me? Meaning, I have a thought, you don't know it, if I want to reveal my thought to you, I have to say it. I have a feeling, it's within me, you don't know what my feeling is, so I tell you what my feeling is. I reveal my feeling to you. I have a concept of intellect that I know, but it's hidden from you. If I want to reveal it to you, then I say it. So what is speech basically? Speech is revealing something which is normally concealed. So when it says in Chumash, Hashem spoke, it doesn't mean that there's words and coming out of Hashem's mouth and Hashem is leaving it and it's leaving Hashem and it becomes recorded. No, that's not what it means. It means Hashem had a power, let's say in creation, to create light. The power was hidden. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem revealed the power of Yehi Ohr to create light, and light became created. Hashem had a power to create people, but it was hidden. Hashem said, Nasa Adam, let us make people, and it became. So what is Hashem's speech? Taking something which was hidden and revealing it. What? Speech, you understand? No, I mean it's a. What's Hashem's thought? Creation was done with speech. But what's the difference? To understand the way it works by Hashem. Like Dr. Rebbe is saying, we have to understand the way it works by a person. We understand the concept, not the physical idea, but the concept of it. We can understand the way it works by Hashem. Thought by a person is also a revelation. But it's only a revelation to yourself. In other words, if you have a feeling of love to somebody, say, so, okay, the classic example, you love your kids sometimes when they behave. Whatever. You love your kids. Now, when you're occupied with doing something, or you're learning, you're not thinking about the love of your kids. The love is there, but it's hidden. If you think about your kids in a positive way, then that creates the revealed love, but to you. Because nobody else knows what you're thinking. If you speak, if you say, I love you, so then you're bringing it, revealing it to them. When you do an action, you kiss them, so then you're bringing it into them. It is when I speak, it's coming out of me, it's revealed to them, but it's not in them. Instead, it's not done to them, it's not done in an object, it's just something that's coming in words. Action brings it down, even lower, into something tangible. Action has to be with something. Okay? As the famous expression that they question already, but we always grew up with the expression that modern psychology questions that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never, names can never hurt me. Remember that? Depends how old you are. If you're my age, then you know that sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can never hurt me. Nowadays they say, yeah, it could. You'd have to change everything. So that word, you know, names can never hurt me because I didn't hit you. I didn't bring it down into you. If I take a stick and hit you, it's coming down even lower. So thought, one second. Thought is a revelation to yourself, whether it's a feeling or whether it's an understanding. Like, you know an intellectual concept that 2 and 2 is 4. You know that. But you're not aware of it a whole day. When you think it, for whatever reason it causes you to think it, so then you're revealing that intellectual concept that you have in your brain, you're revealing it to yourself. Contrary to public belief that thought is intellect, it's not true, because you can think stupid things. Right? Thought is not intellect. You could think intellect. But intellect is there whether you're thinking about it or not. A person's a smart person whether they're using the brain at that particular moment or not. Now, they can reveal the intellect, this knowledge that they have, they can reveal it to themselves by thinking it. They can reveal it into something else by speaking it. And they can reveal it into something else by doing it. When Hashem created the world, the truth is, Hashem created thinking worlds, and Hashem created revealed worlds, speech worlds. Okay? What does this mean? There is in Chassidus what's called Alma Diskasya and Alma Disgalya. Alma Diskasya means the hidden worlds of godliness, which by simple meaning is they're too great to be revealed, so they're hidden. Then you have a lower level of godliness, which is called Alma Disgalya, which are the revealed worlds. To give the example, the explanation the Chassidus gives, there's a medrash that says, "Kol ma sheyesh b'yabosh yesh b'yam, v'chol ma sheyesh b'yam yesh b'yabosh." Whatever there is in dry land, there is in the ocean. Whatever there is in the ocean, you have in the dry land. And the medrash elaborates, there's animal life on dry land, there's animal life in the ocean. There's a certain level of human life in the ocean, there's plant life, there's inanimate life. Any creature you find on earth, you find on the dry land. Kol ma sheyesh b'yabosh yesh b'yam. What's the difference between Yam and Yabasha? What's the difference between dry land and ocean? So as we know, very simple. On dry land, everything is open. Everything is revealed. When you look in the ocean, all you see is water. As the Rambam uses the expression and finishes the Sefer Rambam, Kamayim Layom Mechasim. The water covers over. What's in the sea, you don't see. When you stand next to the Pacific Ocean, you can see water from who knows how many miles, but you don't see anything in the water. When you look at dry land, you stand on top of a mountain and look over dry land, you see everything that's under dry land. So basically, these two concepts of hidden worlds and revealed worlds, we have even down here. But in a higher level, hidden worlds are those levels of godliness that are greater, too great to be revealed. They're too great to be revealed. And revealed worlds, at that level of godliness that's already coming down in a limited form. Parenthetically for a few minutes, that is, by the way, the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. What was the miracle that the Jews crossed the sea? According to Tosfos, contrary to the movie, by the way, the movie, I didn't see it, but the way I heard about it, it's like I saw it, the Jews were coming out of Egypt here, and here was the sea, and Hashem split the sea, and the Jews went through it, and got to the other side, and all the Egyptians got killed, right? That's the movie version. According to Tosfos, in the Gemara Erchin, Tosfos brings on a medrash that says that's not what happened. According to Tosfos, the Jews went into the ocean, made a U-turn, and came back on the same side they went down into. Charles Huston didn't know that when they made the movie. But they made a U-turn and he came back on the same side. Okay? So the question is, if Hashem wanted just to kill the Egyptians, he could have dropped a mountain on their heads, give them all anthrax, and finished. He didn't have to go make a miracle of crossing the sea and making a U-turn and coming back on the same side. I mean, what's the purpose of it? They didn't even get where they wanted to anyway. Right? So Chassidus explains, what was the ness of Kriyas Yamsuf? It wasn't the ness that they crossed into the water. The Pasuk says, Hafach Yami Layabasha, that the Yam, the ocean, became dry land. What does it mean? What it means is, all the hidden worlds of godliness, which were normally concealed, became land, they became revealed. That's what it means. It wasn't Stam that the Jews needed a tunnel. So instead of going the Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, they went the Yamsuf Tunnel. That's not what happened. Yeah, physically that's what happened. But what really happened, and that's why it says in the Pasuk, that even the kids and the maidservant said, Zekeli. The Gemara says, Rasa Shivcha Layam. The maidservant saw more godliness at the crossing of the sea than Yechezkel ben Buzi saw in the throne of God that we read about on the first day of Shavuos and the Haftarah. What happened? Because Kriyas Yamsuf is the concept is that the Yam became Yabasha. What does it mean? The hidden worlds of godliness became revealed. That's what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. That's why Kriyas Yamsuf is special. Because levels of godliness that were normally non-revealable became revealed. One second. So you have the same thing, Lamaila, just like you have down here, Yam and Yabasha. So you have upstairs, hidden worlds of godliness, but they're worlds. They are revelations of godliness, but they're hidden, meaning they're only revealed to God. They're too great to be revealed to us. But it's a revelation, just like thought is not you. Thought reveals your intellect and feelings. Speech refers to those worlds of Alma Dizkaya, the revealed worlds. Therefore, by the way, when Hashem and Shabbos stopped creating, what happened on Shabbos? It was a level of thought worlds rather than speech worlds. That's why, contrary to public shul belief, it says in the Gemara, "Bekushi hitiru ledaber divrei Torah b'Shabbos." The Gemara says, really, Shabbos, you shouldn't be allowed to speak. With great difficulty, they permitted you to speak Torah on Shabbos. Because really, you shouldn't even speak, not even Torah, because Shabbos is not a day of speech. Why? Because Hashem created with speech. Hashem stopped creating. He stopped speaking. He stopped speaking, we stopped speaking. It's more of a thought process. Maitha is not spoken about so much in Chassidus, at least to my knowledge, about what happens in the action world of Hashem. But the logic is like Eilam Asiya, the fourth world, is the world of action, where things become tangible to such an extent that the godliness is so concealed that people can, God forbid, say there is no God. That's when it comes down even to a lower level. Okay? So that is the thought, speech, and action of Hashem. But why do we call it thought, speech, and action of Hashem? Because we're using words that, at least in our vocabulary, in our understanding, we have some grasp of what it means. But it doesn't mean that Hashem has a mouth and he's called Adam and Noah, you know, meaning Moshe, you know, it doesn't work like that. Hashem revealed hidden powers that he had. What do you think, Nevi'im, they heard voices in the middle of the night? They had revelations of godliness that's translated into these words. It wasn't all of a sudden they had an earphone and it was plugged in and Hashem spoke a microphone. And it didn't work like that. Hashem doesn't have a mouth. But Matan Torah, did they hear voices? Yeah, they heard voices. Because Hashem can make anything happen. But normally the concept of speech by Hashem is a revelation of a concealed concept. So that's why, the Alter Rebbe is explaining over here, that's why, for lack of any better word, when Hashem reveals himself, we use the word speech. But it's not in any way like our speech, which leaves us and becomes something tangible and something concrete and something you can't retract and something you can measure. By Hashem, that doesn't exist. So if so, when Hashem created the world, and the concept of speech of the revelation of Hashem that he revealed himself to create worlds, but that revelation never left him. Because there is no place empty of Hashem. So what basically happens is, Hashem revealed himself within himself. So all that revelation is the rays of the sun. In the sun, that all there is the sun. Based on that, world for sure has no effect on Hashem. Even one word by a person has no effect on the person. Because compared to the power of speech, power of thought, you know, the whole thing we learned. When you talk about Hashem, it's even more nothing. The mashal b'chal is not even a good mashal, so to speak. Why? Because Hashem's speech is not even like our speech. So therefore, when Hashem created the worlds via speech, yeah, it really does not alter or change Hashem in any way whatsoever. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying here.
Only three.
Mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem.
You said that when Hashem revealed everything, it was only a revelation of the spiritual world or whatever high it was.
Right.
Okay. But then why does it go into so much detail and talking about the trees and the fruits on the trees that were in the when the Yom Suf opened? Why does it give so much detail?
Every detail of the miracle is important to understand the revelation of godliness that happened at that time.
And When you say that there are revealed words and not revealed words, which is like it's as though inside Hashem, not revealed words to us or even to Malachim or to the Neshamot, what kind of not revealed words?
Huh?
To whom is not revealed?
To whom not revealed?
To whom is not revealed?
To
only to us?
To us as people or to Malachim and also to the Neshamot, which are still up there?
Everything is relative. Certain things not neshama and malach, everything is relative.
So they're still in
a certain
way.
In Chassidus, everything is relative. There are no contradictions in Chassidus. To give you an example, is this table big or small? Compared to a little ant, it's big. Compared to the size of the city, it's tiny. So if you say the table is big, and another person says, no, it's not, it's small, they're not arguing. They're not fighting, they're not disagreeing. It's big compared to something, it's small compared to something else. There are levels which are hidden compared to certain levels, and there are things which are revealed to certain levels. What's hidden for you is revealed for somebody else, it's revealed for you, somebody else is hidden for you. I mean, what, you know.
And then you said also that Hashem...
It's the fourth question.
Third.
I lost count of it. It's hidden.
Very hidden. Hashem is not affected by us, but he wanted to be affected by us, and that's why we do have an effect on him.
Depends which level of Hashem.
I don't know which level he wanted us to be.
In those levels that he wants to be affected by, he's affected. In those levels he doesn't want to be affected by, he's not affected. I'll give you a very simple example. Is a parent affected by the way the kid acts?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Are they less parent if the kid misbehaves? Are they more parent if the kid behaves? Is the child more child if they behave, and are they less child if they don't? Are they or not?
No.
So then why does the kid have to behave? It's a good question. If they're going to be a child anyway, and they're not any less child by not behaving, why bother behaving? What's the answer? No, that's not true. No, because there are certain levels of the parent, not the essential level of the parent. There are certain levels of the parents where it matters if the kid behaves or not. There are certain matters of godliness that it matters if we behave or not. And there are certain levels of godliness it's totally irrelevant if we behave or not. So you never became bar mitzvah. The kids, and the member of the Maimer says, I just was on my tongue. Im chotosim atifel vei, v'rabo p'shachem atasa leim, tzedaktim atita leim, yam yot chayikach. Una ala elim, it's a yeni v'tachtoim, zeni klei choshiv mamish. In other words, the expression is, if you sinned, you did something. You did a mitzvah, you did something. There's nothing. There's a level of godliness that's totally irrelevant what our behavior is. Just like a parent, it's totally irrelevant if the kid behaves or not. You are not more mother or less mother. The kid is not less son or daughter or more son or daughter. That level is totally irrelevant. It matters in the levels of relationship. An open relationship